Craig, I don't think you've ever been in the octagon.
I haven't, but no, I haven't.
I personally
been in the
have
octagon.
Not.
No, I either. Have not. I have no plans to go into the octagon unless it's just like kind of as a tour.
Yeah, like before the fights.
yeah,
like the weeks before the fights.
Yeah, like when the building's empty and there's no risk.
Happy to walk through there. Like run, a brisk walk, right. But I'll get through. We got a guy in studio who has been in the octagon many times. He's going to be back in it, UFC Fight Night in Ottawa on May 4th. Tickets go on sale March 8th. Elias Theodaro is in studio. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming up here. You know from experience, you've trained with GSP. I'm sure you've watched his fights. You've studied him. When you hear the name George St. Pierre as a fighter, what does that mean to you?
Well, it basically encompasses mixed martial arts. Obviously, like you mentioned, specifically in Canada. As a fan first, I got to watch, you know, his rise and also the, you know, the rise of the sport as well, because he was kind of synonymous to it, especially in the early days before it became, quote-unquote, mainstream. You know, mixed martial arts, UFC, kind of had, you know, almost this... this look at it in regards to it wasn't really accepted as a professional sport, and who better to have as an ambassador than a very polite, dominant champion from right. Canada?
Well, and he's like, he wasn't faking it either, right?
No,
like,
he's even nicer than it looks.
I've interviewed him before, and I've been around him, like in his presence, and you can tell he seems like a pretty calm, low-key guy. I mean, his story speaks for itself. I think most people are aware of it and familiar with it, but you know, he treats his opponents with respect. You know, and now you don't see that all the time. You know, we're just talking about the Khabib news and how Khabib approaches it compared to Conor McGregor and how he approached it. But what kind of details could you take out of George St. Pierre that you've tried to apply to your own career?
Well, he's a master strategist. He's someone that obsesses over it, and that's why he almost needed that hiatus beforehand before he came back and took on Bisping, just because he was never really able to enjoy the fruits of his labor. While he, you know, obsessed over the next fight and would win, and then as soon as he won, he was right next to the next fight because he already knew, you know, who was fighting for the eliminator and, you know, who was
who's
the number contender, who's next,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
He always had a target on his back for about 7 years, give or take, while he was champion. And, you know, he needed that break to kind of come back and, you know, he did what most people couldn't, in the fact that he was able to come after a four-year layoff and go up a weight class and take on, you know, a very tough champion in his own right, Michael Bisping. And now there was obviously negotiations in some capacity to go down a weight class to fight another what seems, you know, almost, well, technically is unstoppable because he is undefeated with Khabib Nurmagomedov at 155. So, you know, that didn't materialize. And, you know, it's one of those things that so few, no matter what the sport is, actually walk away in the sunset. And, you know, all the power to him to be able to walk away with not only one belt, but two.
Yeah, it's so true. So you talked about George and just the impact he had on the growth of the sport. You watched him. So what was it like when you first started to train with him? And, like, you're in the presence with him. And you know, here's this bigger-than-life figure now. Now you're training with him.
Yeah, well, it's one of those cases where he's just so humble. The first time I met him, one of my former wrestling coaches, he was actually his former wrestling coach. So we went up to Montreal to train because TriStar, it's like obviously the mecca of mixed martial arts in Canada. And we were at some dinner, we're at some restaurant or whatever, and George walks by and goes, "Oh, hey, Nick, great to see you, great to see you." We kind of you know, exchange pleasantries, et cetera, et cetera. "We'll see you at the gym tomorrow," et cetera, et cetera. He walks off, you know, we continue the rest of our dinner. And then it was the case where when we went to go pay for it, it turned out he already paid for dinner on us.
No way.
Yeah, like that's the kind of person he is, right? Before, like, without even asking, without even making a thing about it. And then, you know, flashback a couple years later when I won the Ultimate Fighter and whatnot, first thing when he said, "Well, congratulations on your career so far. You're doing really well." And it's like, but you're the champion?
Right.
Like, it was just one of those things where I almost think that he doesn't even think of himself as a champion. Obviously, there's the aspect of the legacy and what he's been able to accomplish. Of course, you know, that's what he, for the most part, thinks about. But I still think he thinks of himself as just George.
That's such an unreal move, picking up the check.
Yeah,
like I'd have to be like, "Nah, I picked that up." Like I'd have
but
to
just
tell
quietly
people.
Going about it.
I wouldn't, like, be able to do that.
Yeah, no, just walked off. Didn't even bring it up.
Yeah, I'd have to be like, "No, I picked
see,
that
you
up."
Heard that though. He's a strategist.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It all works out in the end. Elias Theodaro is in studio, and Elias has his own fight coming up, UFC Fight Night in Ottawa, May 4th. Tickets go on sale March 8th. So as you prepare now, you've been in the octagon many times. How would you take us through the growth of a fighter? You know, compared to other sports, where you're in your 30s and you're in your prime, where some sports, you know, in your early 20s, mid 20s, that's it. You know, there's different rankings. It's an individual sport. It's not a team sport. How have you grown as an athlete and as a member of the MMA world?
It's just adding to that 10,000 hour mark, right? Like, so I started later than most in the capacity that I was, you know, in my first year of university, and enlightening the mind, I thought the body should follow. And soon I realized they were intertwined with mixed martial arts. And I kind of, you know, fan first and fell in love with it and just never left the gym. Now, fast tracking to where we stand today, it's kind of just building blocks, right? Like, the more time, the more mat time you get in the cage, on game day is what kind of adds up, because, you know, I've done this now. I've done a jab 1,000 times. I've done, you know, a takedown a couple of 1,000 times. It's this thing that the muscle memory that's in it, right? But the most important thing is the muscle of the brain, because, you know, not the best person. The best person doesn't always win on game day. It's who can actually be the best person on game day, because that's all that matters. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, tunnel vision in the capacity of you're chipping away of, you know, now I'm just shy of 3 months. It's a little bit of the spaghetti rule, because you throw everything on the wall and see what sticks during camp, and then you start cutting off the edges. And, you know, I have an opponent named Derek Brunson, tough individual. He's eighth in the world, while I find myself a lucky 13 at the moment. And the plan is to just basically outsmart him, outmaneuver him in every way possible. As much as it is a sport, and there's obviously so much calculation, there's also big variables that go into right. It. So you got to roll with the punches is basically what it is. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's such a great line. It's one of the great lines, right? And it applies in all walks of life, but it certainly applies in
yes.
MMA.
Yeah, everyone's got the plan until you get popped. I mean, it's a tough sport. You're rolling into the octagon. You have to be courageous. You've got to be confident, but you're allowed to be. Is there any fear? Are you allowed to be fearful at all before you step into the octagon?
You definitely want to be fearful in some capacity. Those butterflies, and that's the failure of doing it in front of people, really. Because we've done this all a million times in every single training session, every single practice, you know, mental preparation leading up to it. It's just the fear of failure in front of other people. And it's that realization that, you know, I have lost. Luckily, knock on wood, I've only lost by, you know, split decisions and decisions. So, it's a little easier to take than, let's say, if someone was to get knocked out, right? Because that's much more dramatic in regards to not only that night, but carrying forward what happens in regards to, you know, how you're going to beat. Because everyone has so many chips, right? And you can only lose so many chips until it's much easier to lose those chips.
Right.
And that's very evident, obviously, in mixed martial arts and boxing. And we've all seen those people who, unfortunately, either, you know, lose their chin or you know, stay longer than they should. But point being, in many ways, it's just trying to kind of capture that feeling. Because there are restless nights. There are, you know, all those, you know, doubts that everyone else has. But it's trying to, you know, foster that into the right emotion. And, you know, I don't necessarily get angry, because I think anger or any type of emotion is a finite resource. And I try to be as clear-headed as possible and kind of just harness whatever kind of nerves that, you know, show up on game day.
Elias Theodoro in studio again. It's going to be UFC Fight Night in Ottawa, May 4th. And, you know, you mentioned it, getting knocked out, that's going to be tough. And Matt Serra got GSP. GSP only lost twice, but the second time was at the Bell Center in Montreal. And I've seen interviews with Serra. He's like, I knew I was going to get roasted. Like, because the Bell Center was rocking and GSP was ready. And, you know, he was waiting to get back at him. There isn't necessarily a home octagon, but as a Canadian fighting in Ottawa, are you hopeful that, you know, you're going to create that same kind of buzz and that can be a big benefit for you?
Oh, definitely. Like it definitely helps. It definitely helps to have the hometown crowd on your side.
Right.
You know, the 17,000 cheers versus boos definitely help. You know, but I've been on the other side, and where, you know, you get to kind of show not only your opponent, but also everyone in the crowd who's boss. So there's positives on both ends. But, you know, I'm always excited to find a home. I fought in Ottawa before the last time they were out there, and it was a sold-out venue there, and I'm expecting much the same this time around. And it's going to be exciting. Obviously, I'm fighting on May 4th, so May the 4th be with everyone that day.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to be enjoying Cinco de Mayo the next day.
Oh, that's what you want to be doing, right?
That's more in our area.
A celebratory Cinco de Mayo.
That's where Craig and I can join you.
Yeah.
We're the veterans when it comes to
there
that.
There you go.
I mean, what's that like if you win a fight and you're like, okay, now I know I've got three or four
there's
months
There's nothing
off.
Like it. Just, again, the feeling doesn't really kind of truly hit you until you're almost walking away from the octagon.
Sure.
Again, it's this whole build up, whether it's months or years, etc., to this one specific moment. And in some ways, it's a relief first because it could have gone the other way. And that's the kind of the amazing thing about it. That's what makes it such an amazing sport, because there's so much on the line versus other sports where, you know, in baseball, you have 150 days where, you know, let's just win at least half of those and we're doing good.
Yeah.
We're in the 500 playoffs. Team, we're good.
Yeah, you strike out a couple of times in a game. You got tomorrow to play.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Doesn't matter. Elias, again, will be fighting in UFC Fight Night in Ottawa on May 4th. Tickets go on sale March 8th. We wish you nothing but success.
Thank
we'll
so
be
much.
Watching it and tracking it. And thank you for coming up in studio. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure's all mine. Love
thanks.
The chat once I win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll call you. We'll get you back in studio,
there
man.
You go.
Win's coming. Again, UFC Fight Night, May 4th. He is Elias Theodorou joining us in studio. We appreciate it.